It's time to get it going. Got some birthdays for you this morning. Let's see here. On July 31st, Buddy Breyer is going to have a birthday. July 31st, Buddy Breyer going to have a big birthday. All right. Outstanding. Then on August the 3rd, Miss Alita is going to be having a birthday. Yeah, Miss Alita. And Miss Alita said she's going to be 63. Amen? 63. Good to have you today. All right. And then Miss Jennifer Stewart's going to have a birthday on the 5th. All right. Miss Jennifer, how many? Enough. You're cranking on 66? You're old. Amen, amen. All right, all right. That's the birthdays. We got some, we do have some announcements for you. How are you doing? You getting over your thing? Is it better? Amen. Got some announcements for you. Let's see here. Tomorrow night is going to be Bible study. Good to see you, brother. Bible study next door in the Sunday school class rooms. That starts at 7 o'clock. And some may be thinking, well, didn't we just have Bible study? Yeah, but we're trying to get back on our normal rotation. So it would be a two-week-in-a-row type deal. So Bible study tomorrow night, 7 p.m., next door in the Sunday school building. Then Friday night, this coming Friday night, August the 4th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. is going to be Tomball night. All right? Yeah, come out for the fireworks. Are you for it? You going to be there? Uh-oh. All right. What's your request? Okay. Okay. Oh, my. We'll pray for him in a moment. We sure will. Yeah. Is he online right now? Hey, Justin. Everybody turn around and tell Justin hi. He's online. All right. Amen. Very good. And then we've got, men's prayer breakfast on August the 5th. That's at 7 a.m. next door in the fellowship room of the gymatorium over there. Amen. The school. All right. So those are your announcements. Amen. All right. So we're going to, and look at this stranger back. Amen. All right. This stranger's back. All right. Yeah. Oh, no. Fell down the steps. Oh. All right. All right. So Misty and Justin, we'll do it. All right. I'm going to go back here and pray with Justin, and then you sing happy birthday, okay, when I'm done? Amen. Let's give our visitors a round of applause. Amen. How y'all doing? How's the cats? Cats doing good? Hey, the cats are getting fed. Amen. Amen. Kenneth feeds deer, and those guys feed cats. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to pray with Justin. Y'all join me in prayer. Amen. Justin, I hope you can see maybe the top of my head, brother, but I'm right back here with you. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And we lift up our friend Justin. Lord, you know what's going on in his life. We pray for his legs. We pray for his shins, Lord. We pray for this pain. Lord, we just pray you might touch his body in a specific way and bring healing to him. Lord, give him what he needs to get through this 3-mile run if he's able to do it. If he's not able to do it, Lord, we pray that there might be some way that he not get set back, but that he be able to continue to go on. So, Lord, we're praying for your wisdom. We're praying for your help. We're praying for your grace and your mercy in time of need. So, Lord, we just lift Justin up to you. We're thankful for our church as they continue to intercede on his behalf and pray that God might touch his body and bring healing to him. And then, Lord, we lift up Misty to you this morning. We pray for her. We pray you might heal her body. Lord, help her get over the trauma of falling. And then, Lord, we pray that the soreness not be too horrendous in the coming days. But, Lord, we pray you heal her up and get her back going. Thank you, Lord, for all our visitors today. We rejoice to have visitors with us, always an answer to prayer. When we got visitors with us, Lord, we're thankful for all the people here today. And, Lord, we just rejoice in the fact that we have so many people with us online. We rejoice in that as well. And Lord, we pray you touch those online folks. Bless them. Lord, may they feel like they're just a part of what's going on here. And Lord, we just pray that the Word of God would continue to go forth right from this place. What a privilege and an honor it is. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, we're going to do some happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha cha cha.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha cha cha.
Happy birthday, God bless
good
you.
Morning. Hi, good
happy
morning.
Birthday to you.
Your husband's having a birthday.
And many more.
Yeah, don't forget.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly God, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived. His children, the Lord said he would be. It doesn't take very many, it can be just two or three. And I feel that same sweet spirit that I felt oft times before. Surely I can say I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power. Brush of angels' wings, I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. There's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills this place. I've touched the hem of His garment. I can almost see His face. And my heart is overflowing with the fullness of His joy. I know without a doubt that I've been with the Lord. Surely presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that we have you to lean on. We come here gathering in your name, Lord. We ask that the Spirit move among us, Lord. Be with Brother Lee as he brings the word, Lord. And Lord, may there be conviction of hearts today, Lord, that people come closer to you, Lord. We thank you for all our visitors that are visiting us today, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you continue to watch over them and guide them, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us in spite of ourselves, Lord. And, Lord, we ask that you take this offering, Lord, and use it for your ministries here, Lord. And may we always continue to remember that you are who you are, and that is God Almighty, Lord. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Is it time for Children's Church? You helping me out there, brother? Yeah. Children's Church, okay. Don't even give me time to announce it, man. Just get on down the road with it. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, jumping the gun today. I'm waiting. All right. There. All right. Here we go, man. All right. Good to see y'all again, and let's get on down the road with it. Last Sunday was kind of a one-off message because we were had a great vacation Bible school report. Amen. Wasn't that good last week? That was good. And all the pictures, yeah, give the Lord a hand. And so here we are back. We're back on our series of messages in the book of Colossians. So with that said, if you'll take a copy of God's Word or on your phone, however you access the Word of God, we're in Colossians chapter 3. We're beginning a new chapter here. Colossians 3, we'll begin reading here in verse 1. And we'll take it through verse 4. A reminder, too, if you don't have your phone on silent or vibrate, this would probably be a real good time to put it on there. It really freaks me out when somebody's phone goes off because I think it's mine. and I've got mine on silent. Hold on, let me double check. Yes, silent. Okay, so I got mine on silent. Amen. So very good. If you found that this morning, those of you with us online, Colossians 3, 1 through 4, if you found that this morning, would you say amen? All right, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads this. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for the reading of Your Word. We thank You for this group that You've assembled today. Father God, we pray their hearts and minds would be open to receive what You have for them to receive. And Lord, we pray Your Spirit would apply to their hearts what needs to be applied. Some conviction, some encouragement, some help. Lord, some all of the above. But Father God, we pray that we would be focused on You, that we would, Lord, listen to what You have for us. And Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, perhaps they're religious, but they're not righteous, we pray that this would be the hour, the moment, the time of their salvation at the conclusion of this service. Lord, thank You for all You do for us, how You bless us. Thank You for Your grace, Your mercy. And Lord, we're so thankful for the salvation that we have in Christ. Thank You for Your shed blood that covers our sin. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, all right, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, the wonderful book of Colossians, it really is a great book. It contains the answers to a lot of life's most important questions. I mean, it really does. The first chapter answers the question, who is Jesus Christ? And we went through that, and we've answered that question resoundingly, discovering that Jesus, He's what? He is the image of the invisible God. He is the Creator. He is the one who holds all things together, the Bible tells us. In Him, all the fullness of God dwells. We also uncovered the greatest mystery of the ages, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Y'all want to say that together? But say Christ in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? All right. The second chapter answers the question, what has Jesus done for us? Oh, He's done some amazing things for us. Well, we've seen that Jesus redeemed us from our sinful condition. And at the cross, God nailed all the sin and all shame. And He nailed all the legalistic Old Testament regulations too. All that was nailed to the cross. We've been set free to enjoy the benefits of God's amazing grace. We found out we have been forewarned about grace robbers and the attitudes that lead to legalism. And as we come now to the third chapter of Colossians, we reach a turning point, if you will. For you see, the first two chapters were all about what we believe. But as we begin these last two chapters, we transition to chapters 3 and 4. The emphasis changes from what we believe to how we behave. Believe leads to behave. See, the last two chapters of Colossians address this important question. Based upon who Jesus is, based upon what Jesus has done for me, how should I live? How should I live? If I could summarize this message in one sentence, it would be this thought. We are not in heaven yet. We're not in heaven yet, but it is possible to enjoy a little bit of heaven right here and now. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? It is impossible to enjoy a little bit of heaven right here and right now. If you think that's possible, say amen. It really is possible. For you see, if you're saved, if you are blood-bought, if you're sealed for the day of redemption, if you're with Christ and Christ is with you, if you are saved, your eternity with Christ has already begun. Already. John chapter 3, verse 36 says this, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. This wonderful thing called eternal life, possessing it in the here and now, is really living. That's what living is all about, possessing Christ in the here and now. So the question is, are you really living? Living, or are you merely existing? Are you living, or are you existing? You're taking notes. I've got a few things to share with you on this passage. The first one goes like this. To really live, you must possess a higher perspective. To really live, you must possess a higher perspective. Look at verse 1 with me again. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now, let me add to that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 to try to build out the context here. Ephesians 2, 6 says, and raised us up with Him. And raised us up with Him, Ephesians 2, 6 says, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So Ephesians 2, 6, Colossians 3, 1, they go together. They kind of flesh it out. They paint the picture. So let me ask you the question. Where is Jesus at this moment? Well, spiritually speaking, He's right here with us. The Word of God promised where two or three are gathered together, there I am with them. Matthew 18, 20. Jesus is here in the person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, amen. But literally speaking, Jesus has ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, which represents what about Jesus? It represents Jesus being seated at the right hand of God. It represents His victory and authority. So, where are you right now? Well, preacher, do you not know where you're at? I know where I'm at, but where are you at? Where are you at right now? Well, physically speaking, you're here, seated, listening to me. But don't miss this. Spiritually speaking, the Bible says our eternity with Christ has already begun once we're saved. The Bible says we've been raised and we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms if we're saved. Because of your sealing or your spiritual positioning, the fact that you're saved, you can look at things differently. Make sense? You may be thinking, Pastor, when I get to heaven, I'll see things differently. Well, friend, this passage or truth is not referring to going to heaven someday. Rather, this passage tells us we're seated with Christ right now. We're seated with Christ right now. Heaven is a real place. Yes? Amen? Heaven's a real place. And all true Christians will spend eternity there with Jesus, but you do not have to go through a cemetery to experience heaven. You can experience some of it right here, right now, is what I'm saying. Now, let's break it down and get into the weeds here a little bit. There are literally two worlds going on. Two worlds are coexisting in one space. Two worlds. Now, one is this world that we can experience with our five senses, right? Our five senses. Which reminds me of the science question. They were asking a child, what are the four seasons, right? I'm talking about senses. They asked this kid, what are the four seasons? He said salt, pepper, mustard, and ketchup. Amen? Right? Now, I'm not talking about I'm talking about senses, right? One is this world we can experience with our five senses. But superimposed on this world is another world, a whole different dimension of life. See, if the reality is a little confusing to you, then let me try to explain using a simple illustration to clarify this truth of superimposed dimension on each other, right? Right now, as I'm speaking to you, there are all kinds of scenes and sounds in this room. Now, you cannot see it, but there are numerous videos of all sorts of things, some good, some bad. Let me ask you a question. Did you see it? Did you see it just flash by? There was a guy on a mountain bike, and he just jumped a giant ravine. He's on a mountain bicycle, not a motorcycle. A giant ravine, and before he landed, he pulled a flip, and he stuck that thing, man. Well, what else is going by in the room? There are several sporting events going on right now in the room. There's baseball and there's summer basketball and perhaps there's some World Cup ladies soccer going on. Well, what else, preacher? Well, there's political pundits pitching their message, vying for your vote. That's going across in the room. And then there's those weather prognosticators telling us how hot it's going to get today. I'll tell you how hot it's going to be today. It's going to be really hot. Amen. And another news person telling us who died last night and how they died in this tragedy or how they died in this act of God. Now, before you think I finally cracked under the pressure of keeping up with it all, I hope you understand I'm talking about all the digital and radio waves flowing through this room right now. Right here, right now. They are present in this building. And the only reason we cannot experience them is because hopefully you respect your pastor enough and the Word of God enough to keep your phone on silent and maybe just have your Bible app open. Amen? Hopefully you don't have your earbuds in and watching a YouTube video while I preach. But I mean, hey, if you are, hopefully you get a little bit of word by osmosis, right? But all you have to do is turn that phone on and hit any one of a various number of apps to partake of what is unseen in the present. Now, do you have trouble believing that? No, of course not. But if I were to get old Sam Houston up here from long ago and say, Sam, those are some interesting clothes you're wearing. That's not quite the style I would dress in. But if I were to tell him about an invisible world of radio and digital television waves, Sam would think I was crazy. Sam would be like, can I go back to where I was? I don't want to hear any more of that talk, right? Even so, some people think we're crazy for believing in spiritual things we can't see. Are you hearing me today? See, we're still in the world, but we should be looking at things from the perspective above, where Jesus is seated with the Father. Now, let me ask you the question. Have you ever noticed when you're up high, things seem smaller? Have you ever noticed that? You heard about the nervous flyer, didn't you? Nervous flyer, he'd never flown, didn't like to fly. Nervous flyer, they finally got him on an airplane. Friends with him. Friends said, why don't you take the aisle seat? Take the window seat, he gets in the window seat. I mean, this nervous flyer, he's really having to come apart, you know, waiting to fly. And he finally gets up enough courage, this nervous flyer. He glances out the window, and he said to his seatmate, his friend that helped him get on the plane, he said, it's true what they say. It's true. It's so true. People look like ants from up here. And his friend and his seatmate said, those are ants. We haven't taken off yet. Amen? You've heard about that nervous flyer, right? Right? But things look a lot different when you're up high. Friends, I've had the opportunity to travel over some of this beautiful blue marble of a planet that Jesus has blessed us with. I have flown over the Pacific Ocean. I have been to Guam. I've been to the Philippines. I've been to all kinds of places. Stephanie got me in the Paladura Canyon out in West Texas one time, riding a horse that wouldn't mind me for nothing, right? I've driven through the hill country of Texas and just been in awe. I have flown over the Grand Canyon and just been in awe. I've been over this land enough to know that our planet is scooped out and piled up with valleys and canyons and mountains, mesas and hills. But when you look at our world from outer space, the surface appears completely smooth. Completely smooth. Now, we know there are deep valleys, we know there are high mountains, but when you back away a few thousand miles, it appears as smooth as a billiard ball. Friend, life's the same way. Life is exactly the same. Up close, the challenges of life may appear to be unclimbable, uncrossable, but when you look at problems from the perspective of being seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms, those problems don't seem nearly as big and scary. That's what I'm telling you. Through the years, I've often asked people, how are you doing? A common answer I receive is, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. Under the circumstances, preacher, I'm doing all right. Well, because of who you are in Jesus, you should not be living under the circumstances. Yeah? Circumstances are like the mattress on your bed. Yeah? If I asked you how you slept last night, and you said, I slept pretty good, preacher, under the mattress, I'd say, what in the world are you doing underneath the mattress, trying to sleep under your mattress? Don't you know you'll suffocate under there? You're not supposed to sleep under your mattress. You're not supposed to live under your circumstances. You should be resting on top of them. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and things look a whole lot different from there, friend. And even though we're not there physically, we are there spiritually. And we can look down with Christ with a higher perspective. Number two this morning, to really live, you must synchronize. You must synchronize with heavenly values. Now, when I say synchronize, think about this. I think they still have it in the summer games. Synchronized swimming. Yeah, they still have it. Those girls, how they do that, I don't know. You put old Pastor Lee out there in one of them leotard suits and covered caps, you'd find me about 30 seconds on the bottom. He didn't make it. he couldn't hold his breath long enough, man. Poor Pastor Lee. Somebody dig him out. To really live, you must synchronize with heavenly values. Look at verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, there that word is, set. Everybody say that, set. That's the word. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. The word set, you get it? It means to synchronize, to make two things agree. Two things agree. We're to synchronize our affections and our thinking with heaven. To set is like setting or synchronizing your clock. If you want your stove or your coffee machine, your Mr. Coffee or your Black & Decker or your Hamilton Beach or your Krups or whatever it may be, if you want your coffee machine to tell the correct time, you have to set it using a true standard. Now, I use my phone to do this. It's simple. It's normally on me. But the question is, what does my phone use to get its time from? Well, phones today use what is called network time. Well, preacher, what in the world does the network time sync with? Well, based on Google, Verizon Wireless uses the GPS system developed by the U.S. Department of Defense that references a master clock at the U.S. Naval Observatory for mobile synchronization of phones on the company's network. Well, that makes me feel pretty good about my time on my Verizon phone. But friend, that's what the Bible means when it says we should set our hearts and minds on things above. Synchronize, make the two agree. D.L. Moody once said, we have a perfect standard in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? A perfect standard. Now, you may have heard the saying, and I'm sure I've used it over the years, been here almost 10 years. Some people are so heavenly minded, they are no earthly good. You've heard that saying before? Now, my perception of that saying is that people use this pithy statement to discourage a judgmental attitude of others. That's basically kind of the point. But this context of Colossians 3:2, this is exactly what we want to do, being heavenly minded. You see it? Heavenly minded. I think what most of us struggle with is quite the opposite, in that we are so earthly minded, we are no heavenly good. Preacher, you saying I got a problem? I think we all got it, amen? We all got the problem. You know what I mean when I describe someone, we talk about having a mind that's in the gutter. Your mind's in the gutter. That means they're always thinking of wicked, evil thoughts. Setting your mind on things above is just the opposite, meaning you think about goodness and you think about grace and you think about God's glory. Amen? Yeah? You make a conscious choice to focus on the things of God rather than the things of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Right? Eternal. In one sense, nobody is truly an atheist. In one sense. What do you mean by that? Well, think this through with me for a moment. Everyone believes in some kind of a God, lowercase g, God. Because a God, lowercase g, is that person or thing which you give ultimate allegiance. Ultimate allegiance. Now, you can easily discover who or what is your God by taking a simple 3T test. 3T test. Here we go. Test question number one. What do you think about the most? What do you think about the most? What is it that consumes your thoughts most of the time? For example, if you think about yourself mostly and your main goal in life is looking out for number one, then you've made yourself your own little lowercase G-O-D, God. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinks within himself, so he is. In other words, you generally become what you think about the most. Question number two. Talking about 3T tests. Second T. What do you talk about the most? What do you talk about the most? Still with me? You hang around a person for a while, just listen to them. Before long, you will discover who or what their God really is. Matthew 12:34 says, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So what do we think about the most? What do we talk about the most? And then finally, that third T, 3T test, right? Where do you invest your treasure? Where do you invest your treasure? What is it that you have no reservation in spending money on? Absolutely none. Is there something you do or someone you know that when it comes to cost, you think, ain't no money, no object here. Money, no object here. The Bible says if you invest your treasure in earthly things, the possibility exists that you will lose your investment. Back to Matthew's gospel. We've preached through it. We finished it, praise the Lord. Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. You know the passage. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart. There your heart will be also. See, when your God is Jesus Christ, when your God is Jesus Christ, your heart and mind will be set, synchronized on Him. You'll find yourself thinking about the things of heaven, talking about the things of heaven, and investing your treasure in the things of heaven. Now, when I'm so privileged to officiate somebody's memorial or funeral, I always try to make a point that heaven is not only a place, but heaven is a person. His name is Jesus. Now, that's heaven. Imagine one of those brave Ukrainian soldiers on the Eastern Front trying to drive out the Russian occupiers in their homeland. He's stationed on the front lines for a 30-day rotation. Every day he's jumping around to try to stay out of harm's way of artillery shells coming in. He's there for 30 days. After 30 days, he gets a 3-day leave. But he has a sweetheart located in western Ukraine. Back in his hometown. And imagine this old boy, him receiving an email or a text or a video message from his sweetheart. After he reads or listens or watches the message, he looks up towards the west of his country. You can tell his heart, you can tell his mind are hundreds of miles away. That's how we should be living. We're still here in the battleground. We're still in this spiritual war, but our Savior has given us a love letter, a message called the Bible, the Word of God, and our hearts and minds should be directed toward Him. Brings me to my third point today. To really live, you must visualize your life completely secure with Christ. Completely secure with Christ. Verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Man, you've got to visualize your life completely secure with Christ. Now, there are two images here, two images that we should visualize. First of all, you died. You died. That does not mean you died physically. It means that you've died to the old person. The old person we were before Jesus made us alive. Amen? Yeah. See, dead people are not interested in the things of this world. They're just not. A pastor in California, he writes about two sisters, close in age, close in personality. These sisters, they grew up in the greater Los Angeles area. They grew up in the party and the drugs and the drinking culture of Southern California. But they heard the good news, amen. There was a church and some evangelists and some people went around and they heard the good news and both became sincere followers of Jesus. They got saved up, amen. And after they were saved, they received a written invitation. It's back in the day before cell phones. Received a written invitation to a party where there would be plenty of dope. Plenty of cocaine, plenty of weed, plenty of booze. The invitation had a RSVP. So they wrote back, "We're sorry. We'll be unable to attend because we both recently died." Not going to make it. Not going to make it. See, when you are in Christ, you are dead to the old way of living. I said there's two images you got to think about here. One is you've died, but the second image is our lives being hidden. Our lives being hidden with Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be found. Rather, the language carries the idea of being safely hidden away. Hidden means that we are protected. It's kind of like the originals. What do you talk about the originals? The original documents of our Constitution, of our Bill of Rights as Americans, these things are being kept in a fortified glass top. Fortified glass top, flanked by two armed guards. You can get close, you can see, but you can't touch, and you certainly can't take. Around these original documents of our great nation, the frames of these cases that protect the original version of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, the frames are made of pure titanium, coated with gold that matches the rotunda of the National Archives building. Inside the cases, each document sits on an individually machined aluminum platform. And this aluminum platform has been perforated. It's got small holes that have been machined into it, perforated so that moisture, they can pump moisture and reach the back of the parchment so the parchment doesn't disintegrate and dry out. It keeps it supple. Tempered and laminated glass, calibrated to a thickness of 3/8 of an inch, closes the documents in, hermetically seals them, blocks out the harmful high-frequency wavelengths of the light spectrum that would again then destroy and degrade the parchment. The glass is anti-glare for the viewing pleasure of the more than 1 million people who pay nothing to view the documents each year. Well, this is what Jesus has done for His followers. This is what He's done. He's taken our lives and He's put us in a safe case of His love. And let me tell you something, friend. It's safe in there. It is safe in there. Our eternal security is hidden with Christ in God. Do you believe that? Do you believe you have eternal security if you're saved? That means you can't be lost again. Eternal security. That means you may die physically, but you'll never die spiritually. You get there, right? Eternal security, right? Amen. Nobody can take that away from you once you've received Christ. He provides Christ, God, in God. He provides more safety and security than even our most prized documents of our nation. And you know the hymn. Hopefully you know the hymn. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. You know that? Yeah. That's true. I believe once a person is truly saved, they are always saved. Always. But I also believe that faith that fizzles before the finish was faulty from the first. Yeah. See, the security of my salvation, the security of your salvation, is not dependent on what I'm able to do. Rather, the security of mine and your salvation is based upon what He's able to do. Right? And He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him. Yes, yes? Amen, amen? This brings me to my final point today. To truly live, you must expect to see Jesus' appearing. To truly live. You want to go past existence? You want to get on down the road to really living? You want to experience the kingdom of God in the here and now? If you're saved, you have a piece of that kingdom of God. If you're saved, you have a piece of that heaven in you. If you want to truly live, you must expect to see Jesus appearing in glory. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Yeah. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Jesus is coming back. Yeah? Now, some people think history is simply lurching forward as a series of coincidental, unconnected events. They look at all the disasters and all the wars and all the disease and all this, and they can't see any rhyme or reason to it. But other people who have a biblical view, have a biblical worldview, they see history as a cycle of repeating events, and they believe what goes around comes around, right? But if we really get into it, if we really study the Word of God, if we really know our eschatology, if we really begin in Genesis and work our way all the way to the end of the Bible in Revelation, followers of Jesus understand history as His story. History. It's His story. Hey, yeah? Whose story are you talking? Jesus' story. God's story. Yes? God is moving this world toward a climactic event, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ, the second advent. You get that? If you ever find yourself in the reading room of the Library of Congress, you will see a quotation. You know, this country was founded on the Word of God, don't you? Our government, founded on biblical principles. Don't let people take that away from you. You go to the reading room of the Library of Congress, you will see a quotation from Tennyson's poem, In Memoriam, if I can say it, In Memoriam, I can't say it. Yeah, somebody say it. In Memoriam, you know what I'm talking about? You'll have to Google it, Tennyson's poem, Library of Congress. But the quotation says this, "One God, one law, and one far-off divine event to which the whole creation moves." Whole creation moves. See, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, one of my life verses, one of my favorite verses says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we'll be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is." Boy, that's a powerful verse. A story was told about a precious little 4-year-old girl. She was always saying the cutest things. Late one night, a terrible storm blew into her family's town. Rain was pelting down. As the lightning flashed and the thunder crashed, the noise of the storm woke everyone. And the little girl's father, he was concerned about his kids, and so he jumped up and he ran into his youngest rooms first. He ran into his little daughter's bedroom to see if she was afraid, to see if he needed to pick her up or hug her or take her back to his room. And to his surprise, he saw her standing up at her window. Her nose was pressed into the glass, and her arms were spread out. He walked in that room quickly, and he screamed, "What in the world are you doing?" She turned around and said, "I'm smiling. I think God's trying to take my picture. I think God's trying to take my picture." And what I'm trying to tell you today, indeed, God has really taken your picture. He's taking your picture. Amen? One day, friend, your image, your new body is going to be right there with His. Yes? See, the good news is He doesn't see you as you once were. The good news is He doesn't see you as you are right now. God has an image of you that reveals what you shall be. What you shall be when you appear with Jesus in glory. Now, I'll leave you with this. God loves you so much that on His eternal, ginormous, huge gigantic refrigerator, there's a picture of you on it. He got a picture of each of us. Amen? Here's little Freddie. And here's little Stevie. And they like cats. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for the truth of it today, Lord. And Lord, we've been in these first two chapters of Colossians, and we've really got our wagon loaded about who You are and who we are in Christ. But Lord, now as we close this book out, these last two chapters, we get to be challenged a little bit. We get to be held accountable by the Word some, and kind of directed and kind of pointed in a good direction of how we are to behave. Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You for the help. We need every bit of the help we can get. Lord, thank You for Your love letter to us. And Lord, as we think about the truth written here, help us get the grasp, help us get the sense that, Lord, You're talking to us. Individually, You're speaking to me. And Lord, as each and every person opens the bread of life, You're speaking to them. So Lord, I pray we'd come to grips with that and have our minds synchronized with Yours and have our perspective lined out with Yours. Try to see things from a biblical perspective, a heavenly view, Lord. Help us do it. Lord, as we think about these things, as we think about Your second advent, Your second coming, as we rejoice in our eternal security, there may be one here today. There may be two here today. Lord, they don't know You. They don't have that eternal security. They don't have those thoughts of Your second coming. Lord, they don't because they never have. They never have received You as personal Savior and Lord. And Father God, that's not an indictment. That's not a criticism. That's just a spiritual fact for some people. But Lord, as we come to the close of this service, that's a spiritual fact that can change. That can change for the better. Lord, You know who they are in this room. They can walk this aisle today. They can talk to me after this service is over, and they can experience a death and a new life all in one. Lord, thank you that we can have the opportunity to even hear the gospel presented. Thank you for the privilege and the honor it is to have somebody even share with us what it means to be saved. So, Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, may they truly get the sense of how privileged and blessed they are. For whatever reason, they showed up here today, and they've been exposed to the truth today, and they can truly be saved today. Lord, I pray that through the convicting power of your Holy Spirit, as we talked about last week, you might help them connect the dots in their hearts. And Lord, they finally let go of self-will. They think about lordship, you being in charge of their lives, and you being Savior of their lives. And they think that through, and they know in their heart of hearts that they're a sinner, and that they're in need of a Savior. And they've never done that. Lord, in a few moments when we stand, that'll be their time. That'll be their opportunity to take the good news and make it their own. Thank you, Lord, for how you work and how you move with us and in us. And Lord, for the rest of us here that are saved, may we just sit and soak a while longer in the truth. Not just for the sake of sitting and soaking, but to take this truth out these walls and to share with those far and wide that there is a one true God and He loves them so very, very much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for their sin. Oh, may we share the truth. May we take it. For those that need to come and pray here in a few moments, the altars are open. For those that have a spiritual need, the pastor's available. For those that are lost, let them come. Let them come today. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Jeremiah's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation.
Just as I am.
Thank you for your fine attendance today and your attention. I pray for you that you have a great week. Amen. Be safe out there. Stay hydrated. Find the shade. And keep it between the ditches. Amen. Keep it between the ditches. Let's have a closing word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again. Thank you, Lord, for your church. We thank you for your truth. We thank you again for the many visitors today, Lord. We pray that you'd give them wisdom and discernment as they seek a place to worship, Lord, a place to bring their gifts and their talents to. Lord, we just pray you help them discern it and figure it all out, Lord. We'd be blessed to have as many folks you'd have us have. So, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for that today. Give us safety as we depart this place, Lord, and may we be able to say it was good to be, so good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.